Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Canadian PodCow. My name's Andrew Campbell, and I'm pleased, as always, to be joined by my very festive, my very good friend.
Oh, we can't
truly,
speak out.
Like, look at that mooey Christmas in the holiday spirit, as per usual. Sarah Sash, it's great to see you, Sarah.
Yeah, likewise. I haven't managed to score a Blue Cow Christmas sweater, but it's a personal goal for 25, so.
Oh, see, that's, I see, and I, and me, so festive I am. In my merely pullover.
You do have
I'm
the
not
hat
as good. I do have the, well, I do have the hat, the Blue Cow hat, which is part of it. But the Mooey Christmas, like that is I did look a couple up. If Canada Post wasn't on strike, I might have actually ended up with one. It had lights. Do you think that would have been too much?
If we make it to season 5, I'll hook you up.
Oh. See, that would be fun. We could do that. So are you ready though for holidays?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm mostly prepared. My kids are a little bit, I don't know, they're doing the teenager thing now, so.
Yeah. And we're close to that, too. So it's, you know, we're playing it cool in our house now. Like, I mean, we're going to look at the under the tree and see what's there because it could be, but we're going to play it cool while we do that.
We were at McDonald's the other day and Santa Claus was in there and they were very much excited.
See, it's nice to see it's nice to see the light in their eyes every once in a while. And speaking about lights, Sarah, because today on the PodCow, we have a subject that literally might just shock you.
The humor of it all. I hope you bought some cheese for the holidays, Andrew. But that's right. We're talking about electrical safety on dairy farms, a natural Christmas subject. So when you're getting some time to sit around with the fam, think about what's happening on the farm over the holiday season, you might think about inspecting your electrical boxes. How exciting can it really be? Let me tell you, this is the invisible backbone of every farm's operations. Without it, as you know, when the power goes out, those milking machines and cooling systems just are not happening.
Mm-hmm. And really, like if you're thinking like you've all had that moment where you've gone to see and you went, oh, this is probably could be improved when we talk about electrical systems. So we are going to do just that. And how can we do a better job of it? Coming up in the Canadian PodCow.
Our guest today is the founder and president of PrevTech Innovations, based in Saint-Hyacinthe, Quebec. PrevTech specializes in electrical network monitoring and prevention. With over 25 years of venture capital and entrepreneurial expertise, he combines his engineering background with a passion for innovation to protect farms across North America.
In addition to leading PrevTech, he also serves as president of AgriVolt, a company with over 30 years of experience in stray voltage detection and control. Pierre-André Meunier, welcome to Canadian PodCow. Thanks for joining us. Great to see you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired your passion for electrical safety, particularly within dairy? That's kind of a unique thing. Tell us about it.
It's a weird kind of trajectory, quite honestly. Engineer by trade, started my own business out of university, kind of fell into venture capital. So most of my career has been around starting up businesses with young entrepreneurs, funding them and growing the business towards, you know, world domination and whatever they're good at. So did a lot of university spinoffs and a lot of tech plays over the years, but always played it somewhat being on the sideline, you know, being either coach, mentor, funder, and not really kind of getting into the weeds. And I really kind of wanted to build something. And about 10 years ago, I got exposed to a company that was focused on reading what we can read off an electrical cable to detect early signs of issues, but geared pretty much around industrial commercial applications. But under this company was AgriVolt, which was dealing with stray current, stray voltage concern. So I will be outright very honest. I wasn't born and raised on a farm, although as in pretty much everywhere in Canada, you're, you know, a stone throw away from being in agri country. And in Quebec, you know, it's a strong dairy community. And we have either family members or friends that are either farmers. And so you're sensitive to what it is without really fully understanding what it is to be a farmer. But when I was exposed to the stray voltage conversation, which is convoluted, complex, and unfortunately probably a bit mistreated over decades of everything around it, There was still a core thesis around electrical integrity, and also got unfortunately invested with a piece of information, which is in Quebec, we had over the years where I had the data, about 250 farm fires per year. Not all dairy, mind you, but then you kind of wonder why. And then when kind of you look into 50 somewhat percent-ish due to electrical issues, you kind of somewhat understand maybe why that is, but then the next question, can we do something about it? And that somewhat gave way to, oh, this is a tangible problem, it's constructive, and if it works out, well, we'll probably better the lives and of families and entrepreneurs like me that are running complex businesses. So that's the genesis and the trajectory towards what we're doing today.
So then maybe let's go to the next step then in kind of recognizing that and realizing that you could have an impact or you wanted to have an impact in doing that. Yeah. You know, what kind of led you down the path that, you know, helping those in the dairy industry was one you did want to focus on?
Well, it's somewhat tied to the thesis of straight voltage, straight current, which is most often recognized in dairy herds and in cows, you know, just because the behavior is, you know, noticeable and the data around production is readable and understandable more than in other productions. So when I got involved and curious, I think fundamentally when you start a business, you need to be curious, you need to fall in love with the problem. So when I was engaged with farmers dealing with straight current, straight voltage, sometimes in a distressed situation, you kind of somewhat see, well, what are the consequential, what are the causes of these issues? And then looking at the electrical network, just from a layman's perspective. And as I was looking at farmers wanting to deal with straight current, beyond doing technology and stuff like that, one of the first elements you need to do is kind of really upgrade your electrical network. Something that could have been taken for granted over years, and that's kind of one of my theme is, you know, let's all be aware that we have an electrical network within these facilities and operations that is a critical strategic asset to the business. It runs everything. So while noticing this and taking the kind of convoluted, complex, straight current and straight voltage conversation out of the equation, then you see there's a common and valid thesis for all, which is electrical security, electrical integrity. And then my quest as an entrepreneur is that how can we simplify that conversation and make it worthy to have the client engage into wanting to track the health of the electrical network. It's not a natural thing for a farmer to say, hey, I need to track my electrical network. It's not mission critical. It doesn't make more milk. It doesn't make, you know, your cows more comfortable per se. So why is that important? And that's kind of was the genesis. And I took most of the 2017 just to kind of test out an apparatus, raise some issues on farms, you know, find or detect elements. And then with, I think, the naive perspective that I had, well, that while not knowing what it is to run a dairy farm, I would have the alarm, I would go to the farm, I would call in the electrician, we would kind of trace the issue to the root cause, and then I'd turn around and ask the farmers, is this relevant to you if we pick this up? Would this escalate to something that you know would become a nuisance for your business or your operation without getting into straight voltage whatsoever? And the question, yeah, but if that shows these early signs, at one point it's going to fail. And if it fails, this happens and this happens and it costs more money and this and that. So that's kind of the thesis behind, you know, going from what I was doing to what we're doing today.
Well, I like the way you describe it as the health of a network, because I think we talk about that a lot in different parts of our operations. And that's not really a way that we think about electrical on the farm until it stops, at which time I will say everything stops. Yeah. So I'm curious, when you look at dairy farms, what specific challenges are unique to dairy compared to other businesses that you might be looking at over time?
It's a tough business. It's a tough business just for the people working in it. It's just a tough business for the equipment. Mechanically, you know, you got a lot of extremes in terms of temperature. You got a lot of moisture. You got equipment that you're trying to have at a cost-sensitive point. So the materials with which they're built are going to have a finite life. And in a hostile environment, working hard, whatever equipment you put in a farm is going to be strained much more faster than any other businesses. So that mean time to a pending failure is much shorter and harder to anticipate. And that's, I mean, not just dairy, but in dairy, because of where we are also in the continent, we have these extremes in temperature and extremes in moisture on top of, you know, manure and the gases that just are corrosive mix, which will decay things much faster. And decaying electrical equipment, and as you can appreciate, electricity kind of gets conduit to metallic structures, and that will corrode and decay and break down.
So then you talk about, obviously, that's one of the biggest one, is just that decay, that eat away from, you know, kind of the environment that we put electrical systems through. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other risks that you tend to find when it comes to electrical systems around dairy farms?
It will lead to some form of decay, but I'll give an example that is sometimes a misunderstanding or misconception, and it will be a very simple example: extension cords. We need them, we need to use them, and we typically will use them because we need power at a distance from where you have a receptacle. And if you needed to do that, you probably need to do that occasionally. So typically what we'll find is that extension cord still connected at the source and left on the floor for future use. People think that because you're not using it, that there's no power in the cord. There is power in the cord. It's just passive. So you kind of have your bobcat run over it. You have a tractor run over it. You squish the insulation. And at one point, you have issues. So that's, I won't point it directly or strictly to dairy farms. But those are kind of elements that we kind of see, which are part misconception, wear and tear by misuse of something that should be temporary. That's a simple example.
I meant more talking about other dairy farms, not just mine here, Andre. Like, this is one of those that I do wonder that it is funny how it is one of those things that when you do take it for granted. That's really the reality with all of these, is that you do take so much of that electrical system for granted because it is there until, as Sarah said, it isn't, and then it's a problem. But you know, when you do talk about the risks associated with it, like, is it an issue that, like, if I look around, you know, my barn right now, as I look over it now, you know, there are, I couldn't even count how many motors, systems, all of that. Like, what kind of risk does something like that, where it is such a complex system, provide to an electrical system?
Well, there's a lot of stuff to unpack in that statement. I think when you look at how current flows, what you expected and to code and to technical expectation, it should flow nicely through its designated path. Whether it's a big network or a small network, it's that principle resides totally true. So let's say a motor pulls 10 amps. It should be sending 10 amps through the cable, through the breaker, through the cable, the junction boxes, the contactors, the motor itself, and it should be coming back nicely in a loop through the neutral, let's say. You shouldn't have any leakage. An example, an overly simplified example, is a garden hose. You put 2 liters in at one end, you expect 2 liters to come in at the other end, period. That garden hose, say your electrical network, gets corroded, decayed, the tractor goes over it over, you know, a few years, you'll get small punctures. You send 2 liters in, you get 1.9 liters coming at the other end. That 0.1 liters did not disappear. That's just a physical law. Nothing gained, nothing lost. That 0.1 is leaking at a non-conform path because electricity is going to find its easiest path back to the main service. That undesignated path for current to flow becomes a hotspot because it's not meant to be. So whether you look at the network from a very complex topology and all principles, whether it's a 200-amp service or 2,000-amp service, we should have a nice level of integrity as to how the current flows. So there's not a necessity to somewhat be burdened by the complexity of the network, but look at these fundamental principles and making sure that you keep that high-level integrity. And the first element that is helpful to achieve that is awareness, as you mentioned. Totally agree with you, Andrew. I think one of my main statements before we even talk about what we do at Prefthic is make our clients sensitive to the fact that they do have an electrical network. And that's not just to the farmers and operators. as Canadians, we're fortunate we have readily available quality current. We can criticize our sources here and there, but we are fortunate. At home, we plug a toaster, we don't really question where it comes from. We don't really question what happens in the wall all the way to the breaker box. Same thing at the farm. Our statement is your electrical network is the most critical and most strategic asset in your farm. Most people will look at the milk pump, the vacuum pump, the drives, driving the motors, driving the carousel, all that. At the end, electrical network drives everything. So what do you do with something that is so critical, so important? You maintain it. You upkeep it. You make sure you have professional craftsmanship, making sure you have the right components, well installed, well maintained. And from an operator's perspective, you have a visual inspection. Occasionally, you have your panels opened by a licensed electrician. You turn those lugs, you tighten things up, you make sure it's in the optimal state of working condition.
So you've touched quite a bit on environmental factors, but the part that I'm thinking about is that actually the people around are also part of the environment. Gene just caught me pressure washing in a room that he was very dissatisfied with the other day because it actually used to house our old milk pump and everything else. It was like before we built the robot barn, it was the AllSpark of the farm. I was just in there cleaning something up and he's like, "What are you doing?" So I think that there's kind of that aspect of it too. We've got old buildings, we've got new buildings, we've got weather, all of these things. So how are those impacting the risks specifically on dairy farms?
So to that statement, I think before you kind of, again, dive into, technologies and innovation, prevention or risk, increasing resilience to risk in general, regardless of what that risk is a cultural trait that becomes a management trait that has to how you run your business. And I think what I've seen evolve since in the last 10 years I've been involved is 10 years ago, I would probably only have like one of the senior operators, maybe the mom or the dad, kind of taking the shot and being fully responsible of everything in the farm. Today, I see teamwork. And having that awareness should not be just on one owner's head or shoulders to carry. So, and this kind of leads to when you operate, whatever you do in the facility, whether it's pressure washing or doing some equipment maneuver of some sort, the awareness of what you're doing is the first element that, there's going to be consequences. So if you pressure wash on junction boxes and breaker panels, well, what's the first step to not doing that? Education, training. It has nothing to do with electrical, right? And we see this in other operations and dairies as well. Cleaning, maintenance, taking the cobwebs out and stuff like that. But it's time. So choosing what are the chores that can be added within a year, not on only one person's shoulder, can be part of a maintenance plan that, if compounded together, has, I would say, the largest and highest impact in terms of risk mitigation.
I do love that, and I might message Gene to thank him for the education he has provided to Sarah, if that is step one. So
Let's be clear, I was not pressure washing the box. It was just the floor.
the floor around. Still, education. Thank you, Gene, for your service,
I would like to say. That. When pressure washing, we know from our experience that 48, 72 hours after doing any pressure washing job, whether you've pressure washed a box or not, you got a lot of moisture in the air. And it's cold, it condensate, and when it condensate, it trickles, and it finds its way in everything. Conduit, junction boxes, everything. So awareness that when you pressure wash, that you probably have, and typically it's going to dry out. Let's not be overly dramatic. Most of the time it dries out. But add silage, dust, debris in a junction box with, hotspot of unconformable electrical current going through the moisture. That kind of leads to opening that box occasionally, making sure it's clean. Shop vac your electrical components once in a while. We think they're airtight and liquid tight. They are not. That's just a theory. We make holes in them to get cables into them. So that property has been compromised. Therefore, having a sequence, maybe at this time of the year when there's, I don't like to say that farmers have more time, but maybe a sequence during the winter year where you're not building new stuff, expanding the business, field work, maybe kind of have a trusted electrician, do half a day, open boxes, open junction boxes, open breaker boxes, do a thermography work, turn those lugs. And I'd be surprised that sometimes those main lugs on electrical panels, you can do a full turn. So that's kind of best practices that are consequential to other actions that you do on the farm.
So then, you know, your business, Pierre-André, really deals a lot in terms of electrical network monitoring. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
So if we consider the electrical network the heart of the farm, bringing all the power to the equipment, we kind of want to look at if it's on the verge of having a stroke or a heart attack. So the equipment that we install at the farm is almost like a stethoscope. But the stethoscope will give squiggly lines and graphs and electrical data that is sent to the client when an issue arises. But sometimes, as much as we try to simplify electrical information, is it critical? Is it urgent? Do I need to attend to this right now? Is it in line with my historical background of what we've lived on the farm? And we reach out. So the easiest part of what we do is detecting electrical issues, because electricity in general is a well-known science over multiple decades. Knowing what it is, where it comes from, if it's important, it's critical, and tracing the issue to the root cause. And then the most important part on prevention and a prevention trajectory is ensuring that you have a clear path towards a corrective measure. Because knowing, as I like to say, is half the battles. That kind of tells my age. That was the G.I. Joe. So the other part, which is really important, is making sure that in the busy ecosystem of priorities and complexities of running a dairy farm, that action of correcting needs to happen. And we're the custodians of that trajectory. So how we monitor the farm, we'll put sensors in panels and on the electrical network, see it as a stethoscope, looking at the signal, the electrical signal, and we're looking for this high level of integrity as to how the current flows. We shouldn't be losing anything as we're sending current to equipment. It's as simple as that. It's what we do with it that engages the client towards a preventive behavior and getting that whatever we're picking up fixed.
So I love this, that we're building basically a culture of safety and prevention on the farm, which, I mean, how could that not be a good thing individually? But when you look at the overall dairy industry in Canada, how is this kind of monitoring and proactive effort in terms of your electrical system beneficial to the whole thing, to the sustainability and productivity overall of the industry?
Well, that's a bold statement, right? I it's hard for me to kind of say we are so monumentally important that we are the end all. I very well knew when I started the business that we are not a mission critical. I'm not a vacuum pump. I am not a bilk pump. I am not a critical piece of equipment that makes or break your capabilities of drawing milk from a cow. So knowing that, you take a step back and you look at the outcome of what we've done over 8 years. And last year, out of the 24,000 cases we've managed, only 0.5% were what we call critical emergency level situation. So then you look, what's my 99.5? Well, it's the early signs of a well pump that's, you know, probably going to fail at one point, but leading to maybe have that serviced, fixed, replaced on a Wednesday afternoon versus dealing with it on a Sunday night. What's the economic value of that? It's not the point that we're really hunting for. What we're trying to get is these small wins consistently over time that if we call in because our analysis has deemed it important and we want to draw the client's attention, it's not the attention on the automated message they got. Of course they got it. It's the behavior on understanding what the root cause is, what could be the consequential impact of their business in terms of equipment breakdown, downtime, or unfortunately, the worst, a potential kind of ignition of some sort, again, 0.5%, and then getting a game plan, a bit of a moral contract in the earned relationship and trust that we get with the client to actually get things fixed and manage the solution so that we don't annoy the client with a bunch of alarms. Because the reality, when you have an electrical fault, it's a binary state. You have no fault, then you have a fault. It doesn't go away. The only thing that's going to make it go away is a fix or a repair. And yes, you've got intermittent ones. They're not all easy to find. So if you want to have engagement over time, because prevention is not a one-time thing. It's a behavior that you need to nurture. You need to have small wins. And if you have small wins, when you have that 0.5% that does manifest itself, then you want the cooperation. You don't want to be selling that we should be working now. We started working together towards this critical situation, and every single high five moment wins that we have within our technical team, we've got those because we were able to earn the trust of the client that when we call in, we need their time. And that will probably mean getting them out of their parlor when they're looking because stuff is going on. That's not a popular call to have. Combining and, you know, get out of the tractor, go back to the barn, not a very popular call. Or 10:30 at night, you're done with your day and we're asking to go back to the barn, not a popular call. In all these circumstances, for us to be able to have a farmer to go back and investigate, be curious, be patient, and resolve, that is something that we earn to do with all our clients.
So not only can preparedness and prevention benefit your home life, but it'll make your insurance company happy too.
Well, you know, it's a good point. When I started the business, you know, it was drawn a bit by a number of economic kind of factors, that the prices of farms kind of, you know, really being quite significant. There are massive investments. And the correlation between, you know, providing financial protection for these facilities. It would have been extremely easy, and I think we kind of fell in the trap at the beginning. Hey, put this on the wall, you'll get a rebate. And quite frankly, that's the worst thing for us, because if our client doesn't buy into what we're proposing, which is a partnership towards resolving issues, why would you pick up the call if you just bought an insurance rebate? Yeah, I got it and got my rebate done. Then I got a bunch of technicians kind of like hitting voicemails or not responding. It is part of the equation. I think it's part of the benefit, but I always be cautious that when I speak with respect to what we try to achieve, we need the will of the client to meet the outcome that we seek, which is fixing, identifying, fixing, and moving on.
Well, lots more to talk about here. Hopefully we're inspiring some will among our peers here today, and we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
This holiday season, what's that you can hear? It's Canadian Dairy spreading holiday cheer. From butter and milk for potatoes to mash, to pudding and pie that's gone in a flash. And behind every dish, what do you spy? Hardworking farmers and standards high. So to you and to yours, we are proud to say, from Dairy Farmers of Canada, happy holidays. And thanks for choosing Canadian Dairy.
And we're back with Pierre-André. Pierre-André is the president of PrevTech Innovations. Pierre-André, what's one of the biggest misconceptions farmers do have about electrical safety on the farm? And I'm going to be kind of one for, you know, me, as we talked about a little earlier, is one of those misconceptions is that it'll always work and everything will be fine. Is certainly one. Am I wrong in that? What other misconceptions exist out there?
No, the next question,
the
answer. You're correct. And even sometimes when we get into new versus old, oh, I got a brand new barn, it's totally fine. The reality, and it kind of plays into the tough part when you do a new build. You know, you kind of build, you get the construction, the structure, the machine. Who's the last person to come in? The electrician. Everything needs to be plugged in and you're kind of impatient to get your animals and actually kind of run the business that you've invested in. And electrical kind of becomes not a nuisance, but it's just a matter of fact, we need to get things connected and let's move on, close everything up, let's kind of get moving. And that's sometimes when we kind of enter into new builds and there's this misconception because it's brand new that we're not going to find fault. But unfortunately, sometimes we'll find miswiring, nothing related to potential fire, but mixed neutrals in panels, bonding screws left in panels, a number of non-conformities which, if dealt with appropriately at the beginning, can save you from a number of issues. So that all plays into bringing the electrical network up and center as an important critical asset. It still comes back to that argument. So is it a misconception? I just think it's just should be a bit higher in the list of priorities.
So you talked a bit about monitoring so far. I'm curious, have you seen any recent innovations or trends in electrical safety technology that you're particularly excited about when it comes to dairy farms?
Electrical is a very conservative, you know, ecosystem of equipment and systems, right? It's highly regulated by UL, CSA, and standards. So in terms of electrical equipment, there are some innovations, but they're probably not completely adapted to the livestock confined animal environment. I think there are some work being done on quality materials that are a little bit more sturdy, but then it always becomes a question of cost. When I look at, there's some elements that I see coming up on the market, which will we're actually kind of slowly promoting, is a new generation of a bit of a quantum leap in terms of drive innovation. So in terms of power efficiency, having larger loads at that, larger motors and larger draws, one of the strategies to be efficient is having drive, so variable speed drive for large motors and whatnot. And then there's different school of thoughts there, right? Because again, one of the issues over time is we've borrowed from the industry and commercial environment things that worked, that provide benefits, and say, well, that's good there, that should be good in my dairy farm. And that's not totally true. Sometimes there's a learning curve. The drives are one of those, right? But we've learned. So now there's new technologies coming in for drive systems where there's no electrical garbage to ground, there's no concern in terms of how to cable them, there's no harmonics, there's no issues, and they're sturdy. So there's new electromechanical devices coming with a lot of benefits, which will mature very well into the dairy and environment. And we've done a number of installs because we're also kind of making sure the statements are up to par with the expectation. In terms of innovation, I think all vendors of any sorts of equipment, and I think dairy particularly, because it's a very data-driven business, as much as you have animals at the end, the quality, the yields, the mathematics of running an efficient dairy farm is very data-centric. And when you talk about data in 2025, if I may kind of project yourself a year in front of us, is the integration of AI, machine learning, in drawing more efficiencies on how the business can be operated. And I think that will also trickle down to electrical security and electrical integrity. We're certainly integrating it into our solution. And a simple thesis is just, how can I be predictive? That's a big word. But how can I see things come before I actually come to a point where I have to alarm and already in a decay situation where I am at the early stages of a critical situation. So data mixed with a good understanding of the operational use case is a nice opportunity for AI to bring some value. For sure, we're seeing affordability as innovation kind of grows. Sometimes it's not about bringing new stuff or new gizmos. It's about making them better, more efficient, and more cost sensitive. That's true in anything. You know, I'm sure a dairy robot is not the same price as it is today, because there's not only market pressure, because we're able to do things better, more efficiently, we learn. And I think that will bring benefits and broader adoption of anything that's safer and more preventative benefits the entire community. So those are kind of key themes. As well, I think as we're being drawn into sometimes very large operations, sometimes it's mind-boggling, some of our U.S. clients, the size of the operation they operate, and then the multiple of what the economic weight represents in terms of power consumption to run these facilities, that same multiple still applies for Canadian farmers as well. So the electrical bill of running a facility that you want to have automated, mechanically, you know, efficient and everything, kind of draws a big electrical bill. So understanding how to be power efficient while making it accessible and actionable on a day-to-day basis, I think are things that we should be looking for over the next 5 years or so. I do believe, as I speak to our clients, there is that sensitivity. I remember 8 years ago, you would walk into a farm and you'd have the 50 HP motor still running as we were talking with the farmer. Now, like, give me a second, I'll go close the motor and then we'll talk. And that's kind of a change in behavior, making a clear demonstration that power efficiency is part of the equation as well.
So then looking ahead, that talks a lot about, you know, what some of the advantages that are coming down the road are going to be. Do you think that industry standards or government regulation or anything like that plays a role in getting there? Or where does, you know, industry standards like a ProAction or government regulation, where does it fit in this puzzle?
That's always tricky. As an entrepreneur, I'll say bluntly that I don't wait for regulation to kind of try to promote the right thing to do and try to demonstrate empirically and strongly the benefits of doing the right thing and not wait for regulation to push the broader base to do things. So that's my statement. Will there be more regulation? I think where you'll see a little bit more stern position is on the insurance side. Just because of the size and the economics of the new modern contemporary barns that we are running now in Canada. And that kind of drives a mathematical formula where the business partner that is an insurance carrier providing protection for the business will kind of put some kind of rules of engagement to be able to have access to those products. CSA, UL, compliance in terms of equipment, that's always there, it's maturing. An electrical code that is somewhat in tune with the reality of running a dairy farm is also looking at a number of things around the building code, which is evolving. I'm sure you're quite aware of the new kind of regulations around building code, allowing for new things to be done, but new things also bring new constraint. I think being sensitive to regulation is great, but I think being proactive and taking initiative before regulation comes into play is probably the better bet down the road. And I think community efforts and you know groups that focus on common objectives and interests for farmers also have usually a good understanding of what could benefit, not only just in terms of regulatory components, but also best practices, training, education. We see the outcome of these actions much faster integrated into best practices.
Looking at the scope of your work, I'm curious if there's a particular success story or an experience that highlights the impact that you're having on farm or your team, that might kind of be an example to our listeners about that. I mean, when we think about things some in this broad spectrum, sometimes it's too much for us. What's a good example of something that like specifically could be done or that you've done that you feel especially proud of or has made a big difference?
Well, I could get a long list of very tangible example. And again, I don't want to be the fear-mongering fire saver thing. That's beyond that. But the reality, because of the numbers, we've got 3,500 install and probably doing 100 new every month across North America. So you use my statistics of 0.5, that means almost every second day we have a situation where the system did the job, but you know, for some all sorts of constraints and reason, the client did get the message, but we had to hound them down to get them back to the barn, and then we had a critical situation kind of unfolding. And that is, you know, particularly proud, but also kind of drives my technical team to be on their toes. We were having a Christmas dinner 2 weeks ago. It was 8 o'clock, and obviously we had some people on call doing the call center work. And we had a receptacle that kind of caught on fire. Like there was no very long length of warning. We had one or two notifications. And Klein was having dinner, we're done with the day, and you know, we hounded them to go back to the barn. And when we got them, like, I have the pictures and all, but it was pretty dire. So time is your worst enemy and your best friend at the same time. We're dealing with prevention. So this kind of element that I'm most proud of is the clients, or I call them partners now, that allow us to earn trust on these small wins. And when we do get a more critical or more substantial situation, they take time to pick up the call. They take the time in their busy schedule to troubleshoot, find, and diagnose, and finger point the issue and get it resolved. When we do that consistently and over 8 years, that is where we kind of get our juice to continue pushing hard. But the examples, the list goes on of pretty much everything.
Then one of the things I know, you know, more and more dairy farms, you know, thanks to, we talk about government stuff too, in terms of, you know, regulation and incentive and all of that. We're seeing solar panels go up. We're seeing wind turbines go up. We're seeing, anaerobic digesters go up. Like, there's the systems on the farm, as we talk, are getting more and more complicated because now we're producing power on top of not just using it. How does that fit into the equation when it comes to these new technologies of, actually being, mini generating stations on farm too?
Absolutely. And to the early point on innovation and sustainability and power efficiency, we'll take one of the options that you've proposed, Andrew, in terms of the photovoltaic or solar panels. The digesters and the windmills are kind of a bit apart from the main facility. So there's issues there. But when you have a power plant on your roof that's connected to a container or your electrical room with converters, inverters, and connected either to supply yourself with power or to the grid, then my statement to that is that, well, in most cases, you'll be working with a third party, which will kind of provide a business, opportunity to rent out your roof and install, and then you get, a good deal. Well, you're adding to that electrical artifact that same to your electrical network on farm should be in contract in some form or in best practices, maintained, serviced, visual inspection, and monitored in some way that you're able to pick up the early signs of something that could go wrong. So it's not because it's owned and operated by a third party that you should not apply the best practices that you have for your own electrical network, because it is tied to your key asset, which is your farm. So I think it's that vigilance that you apply. We aim to have our clients apply to their business, apply it to anything that ties into that electrical network. And that will have multiple benefits down the road in terms of longevity of the asset that you've acquired or rented out, or renting in to get some additional revenue, or also making sure that the setup that you have is not creating all sorts of other issues. Again, probably spilling into stray voltage and stray current concerns as well.
So before we wrap it up, aside from picking up your dang extension cords, I'm curious if you could give farmers, if we piqued their interest, what's one bit of advice that they could immediately apply on their farms to enhance their electrical safety and get going?
Maintenance. I could be promotional and say monitoring. Yes, monitoring is another step. But the first and foremost you could do at this time of the year, when you have a bit of free time, you have an electrician that can come in for a few hours, open those panels, tighten those lugs, shop vac the electrical component, open that junction box that probably wasn't open for the last 5 or 6 years. Make sure there's nothing compromising in there. Make sure the murets are all tight. Visual inspection. And if you have a qualified electrician and you have a thermography camera, run it and know how to run it well. You don't do thermography when everything's shut down. So I think that's an easy step in. Pretty low cost. That's a one-shot deal, but doing it consistently is easy to do, and it's a best practice that goes a long way. And if that responsibility is put on the shoulder of a team dynamic and not just only one person, the probability of it becoming a sustainable practice adds a lot of value. And then because things decay over time, monitoring is certainly something that we encourage, because things evolve, things decay. It's not all binary, broken, and okay, and then broken. Things evolve. The earlier you get these early signs, the faster you can resolve it, and that's where you get a lot of benefits.
Pierre-André Meunier, it is great to have you on the Canadian Podcast. Thanks so much for joining Sarah and I today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a great guest, Andrew. I mean, I think about, we are always talking about One Health in animal things, in the world, all of that. But if you think about One Health of your farm, you got to be thinking a lot about the different networks you have. And really, electrical is undeniably one of them.
Well, and it basically is like when we talk about, our podcast past the fact, we talked about the cybersecurity network not too long ago, and now the electrical network, where, like, we're basically making your farm a safer place. But it is one where it is funny in the past. If I think back to the last number of years, and I'm sure we've all had it, that electrical moment where you go, oh, that's not good. I think we've all had that, and it's kind of one of those that to hear from Pierre-André to talk about how can we maybe catch that before the, oh, that's not good moment, probably a good thing.
Yeah, we've invested quite a bit actually on the farm in the last number of years in just changing the wiring, trying to make sure that everything is like not rodent accessible, that sort of thing. So
which it is hard to do. It is not easy to keep them out of things. So like you can make it rodent resistant, rodent like preventative, but proof is hard. So keeping the maintenance is definitely a good idea. It was a great show with Pierre André. A big thanks, of course, to our sponsors, Dairy Farmers of Canada, and our production team, Carl Bellanger and Bruce Sargent.
And if you like this episode, you can make sure that you share it to your networks, and don't forget to subscribe and like. You can find the Canadian Podcow on Facebook, on X, and on YouTube. I'm Sarah Sash.
And I'm Andrew Campbell. We should have started a game where you had a sip of eggnog every time we said the word network. Maybe you next betcha. Time. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll connect in the new year on the next Canadian Podcow.
Take care.